Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transform into the extraordinary through the discovery of metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week, as we explore how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation into your life. So, let's begin. Well, hello, beloveds. Welcome. We are continuing our series with Women Rising 24, and today we're completing our interviews. And we have Jenny Hahn with us. Thank you, Jenny, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about visual artist, author, and workshop facilitator. Jenny Hahn captures the inward journey through bold expression and a vibrant palette. Her acrylic paintings and fine art prints are collected worldwide and featured on the critically acclaimed Wisdom of the Shadow and Wisdom of the Divine Feminine Oracle card. She is a certified mindfulness teacher and co-author of Creative Nectar Studio. Jenny leads workshops across the country, helping people reconnect to their innate creativity using paintings as a tool for mindfulness and self-discovery. She is co-host of the Creator Nectar podcast, offering talks and tools for heart-centered living in a changing world. Her debut book, Creative Flow and Tap and Express Your Juicy Essence, presents a roadmap for moving through blocks and releasing self-criticism in order to discover the joy of free, flowing creativity and self-connection. And so listeners, you're in for a treat because we've had just this buffet or this presentation of speakers. And Jenny's going to speak to you using art. I'd like to start off just with briefly with your journey. I know you went to the Kansas City Art School, and then you had a very good, well-paying job.
Graphic designer. I won't say well-paying, but working for a not-for-profit. But yes, I was a graphic designer. After art school, had a day job.
So you had the coziness of the check coming in, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And after art school, I was really going through my own healing journey. At that time, I was really out of balance, out of whack in my life. I was had a lot of negative self-talk. I was suffering from an eating disorder. Just different, very destructive patterns in my life. And that was when I actually went and worked at Unity Village for about 12 years. And that's where the cozy day job came from.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. But, and that was such a blessing. That was, helped support, my healing. And through that though, I discovered a meditation group. Meditation with teacher and author Robert Brummett, right. And that kind of converged with finding another group here in the Kansas City area, which was a process painting group. It was called Paint or Die, and I remember that struck me so profoundly at that time because I felt like, I'd just gone through this degree program and everything, and here I am ready to be a commercial artist, and yet feeling empty and hollow inside. And, you know, creativity is about connection. It's about tapping into what is within and what is beyond. And it's a very vibrant and connective way of being in the world. And that was very much not where I was at that time. I was stuck in my head. I was repressing my emotions. And if you think about it, when you're not in that creative flow, when you're holding back and repressing and ruminating in the mind, that can cause blocks, right? not just creative blocks, but blocks to happiness, blocks to living. And so when I saw the paint or die group, I was like, yeah, I need to paint for me or I'm going to die. Part of me will die. And that was really the beginning of the path of my healing, but also of reclaiming my own essence, my own soul, my own juiciness, my own emotions, and so many things that I was not in touch with. My rage, my power, my creativity. I mean, my really authentic inner creativity, not just making art commercially for illustrating something for someone else. So those things coming together really opened a new path for me. And since that time, I had no intention of this, but I eventually started leading my own groups. People used to come to my attic in my home, and I was like, well, I can't lead you, but I'll hold the space. I'll open this open studio, you know, but over time, it just sort of morphed into this natural outpouring of supporting others in them coming home to their creativity, whether or not they identify as an artist themselves. In fact, most people that I work with don't identify as a visual artist, but yet have this longing. Maybe they used to create, or maybe they were told in elementary school by a teacher or parent, like, oh, you should do something else, or whatever it is. There's so many ways that we can get kind of a lid put on that natural expression, that it might show up as visual art, but it might show up in very other ways and doesn't have to just be art, but just being in touch with that creativity is so vital, vital to fulfillment, to happiness. And so, yeah, that's part of my journey. And so, yeah, eventually I did leave my day job. It was one of the scariest times of my life. But I've been on this path now for about 12 or 13 years, and making my own art and also holding space for others. And of course, now it has shown up as the book. The book has been spent 10 years in the making. So yeah, weaving together all of this into one sort of manifesto guide. And so that's my new baby.
If people aren't familiar with your work, again, I'm not an art critic. I so appreciate it. Your art is so soulful and vibrant, and it's just beautiful. It has a lot of the pieces I've seen have a feminine quality to it, but yet strong and vibrant. And it's so unique and beautiful.
Go on, Mary.
No, continue. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I just wanted to say that part of that reclaiming that feminine essence was, again, part of my healing path, coming back into my own body, really living embodied. And so a lot of my paintings are inspired by nature and or the feminine form, almost as this container for experience. I never had any intention of this all coming together in this way, but eventually when I created the Oracle card decks, that's where the wisdom of the divine feminine came about. Was I had so many of these paintings of different aspects of the feminine. And when I say feminine, I don't just mean female, but the feminine aspect of nature. This duality of the feminine being more of the nurturing, grounding, earth-based, but also fierceness and power. And so it was fun to curate those together and kind of create this deck from so many pieces that evolved one at a time over the years. It's not like I created this series of art just for that. It was like, no, these had been birthed over like 20 years and naturally unfolded.
You know what I'm hearing you saying? Each card was a workshop in itself. because it was a process that you were going through at the time. At least that's what I see with the shadow deck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The
Yeah.
shadow deck especially is primarily those process paintings. Do it painting for self-discovery and for healing, and not about painting an image to share with the world. I mean, some of those I never intended for anybody to ever see, and yet it eventually did want to be shared.
Going through that period of time, okay, and I'm assuming, and maybe that's wrong. So when you were creating your the paintings that became the shadow deck, were you doing those at one time? You know what I mean? So was this ongoing for years, or was this a really dark time in your life where you put these all together?
So, first of all, yeah, they were not just from a specific time, but again, from over about a 20-year stretch. And some of the paintings in that deck are actual acrylic paintings that I did, that I have exhibited and shared. Some of them are a little more on the darker side, and yet, but yeah, I'd say the majority of them were not. They were tempera paint on paper, painted just for me. And yet I have exhibited some of them before. I can recall a couple of times where I have done an exhibit of my process paintings. So, but yeah, for the most part, again, they're more like visual journals. They're more like, you know, I also journal, I also write. Well, obviously I write the book, but you know, I write for me, for integration, for processing. But yeah, to me, these paintings are more of that process of when I am painting for process, I don't have an end goal in mind. I don't have an end image. And it really is this journey of what is arising this moment, what is needing expression. It's really, it's I'll use the word magical. It's a magical process to see what shows up. And I will also add that even though they do shine light on these darker aspects, perhaps within, that it's not like it was just one period of my life. Like all the time, there's always things that are needing to come out onto the page. And I've had people ask me before, like somebody will see a painting and be like, "Oh, wow, that's really intense. That's really dark. Are you okay? Are you okay?" My answer is, yeah, I'm actually great. Like, I got this out of me. Like, how many of us are carrying around these heavier, intense emotions, and we're not expressing them? We're not screaming them out, or singing them out, or making music, or making art, or punching a pillow, or whatever, you know? Like, it's very healthy to express. We are made to express, and not to have to hold things in and feel like it's not okay to let them out, or that to be a good girl or a nice person or whatever, you know, that we aren't supposed to be this way. No, we are life. We are life expressing, and we are all of it. We are the shadows and the light. So when we're making art for process, there's room for all of it.
Yeah. Okay, my mind is at, because I'm like Heather, I'm not an artist, and I have shared with you the first time, Jenny, when we got together. Like, I go on these road trips with my girlfriends, and they always want to go to these paint classes. You know, those classes where you drink wine and you paint the sunflower or whatever. Now I go because, you know, I'm a team player, but I dread it. And I can just name different scenarios where, oh, well, you know, a lot of my beloveds and how they love to do art types of things. And I tried last year. It's like, oh, I'm going to give it a try. I haven't done this in a long time. I hated it. I loved being with them, loved chatting. But yeah, I just.
Maybe because they're kind of teaching you to paint within the lines at those
No,
classes, no?
these women, they're very, it was more like creating collages and doing different things, you know. But what I know what it is note too, though, part of my process, I have too much of an attachment with my vision. And then if you can't find what you need, or you can't paint it or do, you know, deliver with what's right here, then I'm mad, right? Okay, so you have a lot of beloveds like us who do come to your class, and you're making a workshop out of this, right? And what I see you doing is, from your podcast that I listened, that it's very fascinating, because y'all have not only have the art of creating, but you're very well spoken as you articulate the process of your art, creating higher consciousness, if you will. I was very intrigued by that, and your writing. So what's my question? Well, I want to be you. So, right?
Yeah. I'd love to speak to something you just said, Mary, because what I'm hearing you say is you were in these groups and it was a specific process where you're supposed, I'm using quotations here, you're supposed to end up with something like this, fill in the blank, right? And here's the tools and we're going to show you how to do it and follow along, whatever. The reason I don't offer the things like that, what I offer is kind of the opposite of that, because to me that takes me back to like art class in school, whatever. Okay. And you're going to get a grade on it and it's going to be compared to everybody else's. To me, that is so limiting, so limiting. I have so many things to say, I'm not even sure where to start here. So bear with me for a minute. You said, as you were describing your frustration, because you said you get mad when it doesn't look like what's up here, and you pointed to your head when you said,
"Oh yeah, here we go.
I'm watching the video."
Yes.
In our culture, we have this definition of art. And again, I'll use quotations of art. That it's supposed to be a certain way and it's supposed to look like something. And we also have this idea that creative inspiration comes through the head. It comes up from the heavens or whatever and comes through the head and out through the hands. That's a very common like idea that creativity is from ideas. And that's, yes, I agree. That is one way that creativity can show up, is through the mind, through ideas. But there is another aspect of creativity that I feel like gets completely overlooked in our culture. And that is that it also comes from the opposite, from the earth, from the ground up, through our bodies, through our lower chakras, if you will. I mean, biological women have these wombs in our bodies. Like, we are creator beings. And actually, in all humans are creator beings. But I believe that creativity also comes up through the earth, through the body, and out. And that it can do both at the same time, even. You know, when we are in that creative flow, we are engaging all aspects of our bodies, of our awareness, our intelligence. And it's not just logical, brain-based intelligence. You know, there is a heart intelligence, there is a gut intelligence, there's even theories, there's the three brain theory that our brains are actually existing throughout our bodies, our nervous system. And so when we're in that creative flow and we're letting go of the I'll say the tyranny of the head brain, because I think there is a tyranny that happens when we say, no, it has to be this way. No, it has to look this way. No, that doesn't look good. That's, you know, and we're in that critical state. That will block us. That will hinder our individual uniqueness, because we're not all here to make things look the same way. I mean, who is it that says that it's supposed to look that way and not this way? Who made that decision? What was their authority?
Right.
So this is why I'm so passionate about it, because when I was in school and trying to make art and make something look good, I was operating through my head, through my mind, you know? I was not engaging fully my body, my heart, my emotions, my my whole being. And I can remember, I'm going to just say it on here. I remember when I was in an art show at that time, around that time, and I had some paintings from art school, and they were kind of dark, but really, really spoke to where I was at the time. And I remember this woman came up to me, and she said, it always stuck with me, she said, "Your art is powerful." But then she ended it with, "But you paint from your head. You need to paint. You need to paint with your vagina," is what she said. Is it okay to say that on here on your show?
Yeah,
And of
women
course
rising.
she
Yeah.
And of course she didn't mean it literally, I don't think. But what she was getting at, and it really took me a while to understand what she meant. I was like, "What are you talking about?" But I think what she meant was that it was head-based. It was not a full body expression. And for whatever reason, she was able to pick up on that.
Yeah,
And
that's
I
interesting.
find it was true. I was cut off from my body, And so, and I laugh about it now, but it's like, okay, I think that sums it up, that the art in our culture is very head-based. It's still very masculine. It's still, we mostly recognize male artists throughout our history. But when you go back to indigenous cultures, there was no word for art. Like, art was life. Art was part of living. Art was connection to the earth and to nature and to the hands being, as we were talking before we went on air, that poem of the hands being the antenna of the soul, which we were referencing. And yes, we are all makers, and nobody can say that you're not. So anytime there is that block, that mental block, it's good to see it and acknowledge it and to recognize where it came from, that that is a conditioned belief and it's not true.
Several months ago, I had a massage, and it was also an energy work massage, and after it was over, she was reviewing everything, and she said, I believe it was my solar plexus, your creativity is blocked. And I always try to think that I'm working on my balance, of mind, body, spirit. And I thought, I am not encouraging my creativity. I am, like, I did feel when she said that that's something that I is missing a bit. But yeah, she indicated it was in my solar plexus, like my lower chakras, exactly what we're talking about right now. She didn't say my head.
Yes. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that, Heather. I have a suggestion for that, like a practice, because again, when I go into the studio, like sometimes my mind is trying to keep control and dictate where things go. And sometimes I write about this in the book, but starting off with some movement, like putting on some music, moving the body, you can call it dance or just stretching, but making sure I'm involving my pelvis in the movements. And maybe sometimes I'll even tone, like make sounds like or deep breathing or sounding like just whatever sounds want to come out. But that will help get me in my body. And then when you if you want to incorporate art making with this, again, don't have to be an artist. But taking a brush and paint, or taking a marker or a crayon, even, and the idea is to symbolically hand it to that part of your body. So if your solar plexus wanted to make some marks right now, what would it do? What color would it be? How would it move? How would it express on the page? And these are simple things we can do that, again, it's not about making art, capital ART. It's about expressing and really inviting the whole body in the process.
That's
That's
beautiful. I love that.
All right. So clearly I'm in my head, because I'm like, okay, you gotta check in here, solar plexus, in order to do this. All these way too. I guess I could start off with just music.
Yeah, and
Let that, yeah.
yes, keeping it simple. So none of that, I'm not saying any of this so that your mind can say, okay, here's the checklist. You
start. I know. And that's where I go, right?
Missing the point.
here's where my mind's going. I don't have a studio, so I'd have to get all the supplies out, and then I'd have to make a mess, and then I have to clean it up, and then I'd have to, like, I would love, it'd be wonderful to have a studio or a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Keep it simple. Like, do you have a sketchbook or a, do you have printer paper on your printer?
Yes.
Have a couple of blank sheets? Do you have like a Sharpie marker in your office or something? There you go. You've got a studio.
We don't need to overthink.
Don't need to overthink. Mm-hmm. It can be a little journal, or it could be, sometimes I will grab loose leaf sheets of paper and a pen.
Mm-hmm. Sketch. Okay, so tell us about your book.
Yeah.
And the process of it. Or so, yes, like what your thought process is of to the reader.
So I wrote the book as a, like thinking of a workshop in a book, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I lead these process painting workshops. These are the steps that I am guiding people through as they are showing up to the blank page, you know? And so what I really tried to do is to lay it out. And there's eight main chapters of the book that sort of walk through that process from the beginning of tuning in, simply being present, to the very ending of blooming as you. And so there are steps you can take to go through that. So it could work to absolutely to move through the book sequentially and to take that journey. However, this is something that I love that was unintentional. So many of my readers have said, what I love about the book is you can open to any page.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. what I was gonna say.
And gain something from it, gain wisdom, but also have practices right there that you can do in that moment. Because throughout the book, I've woven reflection pauses, writing prompts, mindfulness activities you can do with or without art making supplies, but then also the creative expression activities with paint or with basic, again, crayons, Sharpie marker, whatever you have on hand. So that was kind of a nice happy accident that it is being used that way, that you don't have to go through it in this process, in this order that feels natural to me, but you can also just open it and see, what am I getting from this right now? Or just flip through and look at the images. I mean, there's just so many ways that you can approach this book and to work with it.
Right. So this is what, you know, the days leading up to this, dear listener, as I'm getting prepared. And what she's saying is very true about the book. And the one thing that we all have in common here, and with you as well, if you're here, is that we're all striving to experience a higher consciousness, right? A higher level of vibration. And what Jenny brings to the table is just another way of doing this. And I know for myself, as much as you hear all this resistance in my voice, I'm curious. I'm going to go and take one of her groups and just relax and take it and have fun with it, right? Because I'm always upping my game, right? I'm always trying to figure out within this humanity gig that I'm playing in, how can I achieve that higher level of consciousness? And this is just another way. And because I indicate so many blocks on my forehead, the miracles, there's the only thing that can happen are more miracles and more opening up with this, right? Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. Now, we've been talking about the process of her artwork and the beauty of this book. Jenny also has a podcast, and the podcast is like the book too. I mean, they choose a certain subject and then they both come together, you and your co-host. Can you tell me her name?
Stephanie Gray.
Stephanie, that's right. And so they just speak of their experiences. And so speak more to that, because podcast, there's an art to run doing a podcast too, and they have it down.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Stephanie and I actually met about, gosh, close to 20 years ago now, at that group I was telling you about earlier, the Paint or Die workshop. Our teacher, Sarah Schlinger, it was actually in Stephanie's basement at the time. And so she and I are like soul sisters that have been on this creative awakening path for that long. And the cool thing about it is that, as you know, I went through formal training with art school, although I've been unlearning and shedding a lot of the things that have been, you know, taught to me since that time, coming back to my own expression. But Stephanie comes at art making from the opposite. She had zero art training, didn't think she was creative, you know, and yet found this group, found Sarah, and realized the joy and also the healing and integration that comes from tapping into your creativity, whether or not you think you can do it. And so it was this beautiful kismet that she and I met.
Energy.
Yes, and we have co-created pretty much ever since then, because back in 2011, we co-opened, that's when we formed Creative Nectar Studio, and we opened a storefront studio in Mission, Kansas. And we had these process art workshops several times a week, plus different special events, and it was just this magical time. We've since closed those doors, but now have taken things more online. Steph does a lot of working one-on-one with people online via Zoom. I started taking the workshops more on the road. But just this last year, we both were feeling the call of, let's create a podcast. Like, there's two decades of wisdom here. We both come at it from different angles. Let's share it. Let's talk about it. And it's been so much fun because, as I think you said, Heather, or whoever, one of you said, you know, we'll take a topic and just kind of really dive into it. And it's all centered around creative expression as a way to come into our hearts and as a way to help co-create this new world that we're moving into. Because as we can see, I mean, things are shifting so rapidly around us, and people are waking up and systems are crumbling. And, you know, it's like, do we want to get caught in fear or holding on to as things were, or can we use our creativity to help consciously co-create whatever is next? You know, just as we can show up to the unknown on the blank page, can we show up to the unknown in life and learn how to be present, learn how to tap into whatever's alive in us, and learn how to express and how to build a world that works for all of us?
I love that, Jenny, too, because I, if we notice looking around, people, I feel, are, including myself, we're losing that creative edge because we're, you know, we're on our phones, we're on TV, we're on Netflix, like all this mindless time in our life, you know, during the day that I'm the guilty of it. And I'm thinking, I'm just looking for something to fill that time where I think I should start being creative. I should start. That's how we are going to transition into this next time. And
you're right. And what we're trying to do is what she said, we're trying to create a flow and navigate in this world that's changing so much. And what you've done is you've brought your experience with art and have showed us how to flow with this and how they're parallel.
Yes. Because this is something Stephanie and I both talk about a lot, is that when we're making art for process, it's almost like a laboratory for being in the world. Like all the lessons that are gained and all the insights that are gained from being at the page, and it's not limited to visual art, by the way, but that's my medium, so that's what I'm focusing on. But anytime we are creating for process, whatever is gained from that, it's like a microcosm for life So we're learning to trust the process. We're learning to release attachment to the results and how things, how we think they should be. We're learning to welcome it all, to welcome all aspects of ourselves and of life. We're learning to love and accept ourselves and others. We're learning to bloom into whatever's wanting to happen next. I mean, there's just so many ways that it applies, and what fun that we can practice this with just, yeah, making art, having fun, making a mess.
Right.
I mean, so many of us are disconnected from play, and I love that you spoke to that also, Heather, like that we are addicted to our phones and kind of just this mindless taking in of information and entertainment, but it's like, but what wants to come out of us, you know, rather than us always taking in other people's perspectives and ideas. Yes, that can be inspiring, but also, you know, what we want to create,
right.
You know, yeah. And being intentional with that.
I feel like it does block that flow. And I love the name of your book, Creative Flow, because I love that word flow. I think when you are in a flow in life, I mean, doors open, opportunities arise.
Yeah.
And that's where we should be. That's the level we want to be at, is in that flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And not to say that there won't be obstacles, but when you're flowing, you just flow around it.
You flow around it. Yeah.
Yeah. When you think of pebbles in a stream, you know, the water doesn't make it move or try to convince it that it's good enough or whatever. It just goes right around it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, that's part of the practice.
I love that.
So let's wrap this up. And dear listeners, there's one thing that I failed to tell you. Marcella, there's no air conditioner here. And of course, the air conditioning man showed up now. And we also had the obstacles of the dogs. So she's keeping the dogs quiet and getting the air for us. And so I just wanted to mention that, because we are ordinary women, but we're living our extraordinary life. And with housework, I want to also, Jenny, tell them where they can find you. And do you have any upcoming events right now that you'd like to share, other than Women Rising Saturday?
Thank you. Yes, definitely Women Rising on Saturday. I am honored to be the featured author at Rainy Day Books on May 2nd here in Kansas City. Well, in what's it called? Fairway, Kansas, their shop. So yeah, Thursday, May 2nd, that's a free event, and books will be available there. Books will also be available this Saturday at Women Rising. So, you folks can find me at jennyhahn.com, JennyHahn.com. And from there, you can link to my art, my oracles, to the book. It's all, that's kind of the central
and podcast.
And the podcast, yes.
And we just thank you so much, Jenny, for joining us. Jenny, you've participated in Women Rising in the past before, I remember.
I have. I've been to several now. I think there was an interruption there maybe during COVID, or I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I'm so honored to be a part of it. And it's been so great to see kind of the blooming of that event, the evolution over the years. And, and I'm just so grateful to you and to everyone who's, you know, the Sisters of Myrtle, of course, Julie Vest, who's been doing so much. I mean, all of you are just bringing together.
Chapel. Yeah.
Excited and honored to be a part of it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. Yeah. And maybe we'll do a podcast after, and I can tell y'all my version of the flow, right? Thank you for joining us. Thank you, dear listeners. Hope to see some of y'all at Women Rising this Saturday at Unity Village. Hope to see you there. We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.